Father, we thank you for this word. We thank you for the ministry. We thank you for this church. We thank you for MCF and Wellspring, same church, different title. But Lord, we thank you. Thank you for all that have gone before us. And thank you for those that are in the hopper for coming down and what God has for them too. So, Father, we just thank you, and we bless you, and we thank you for this word today. Let it minister, Lord, your heart and your mind, and with your strength and power, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Okay, I wanted to talk to you again and pick up what I started in the first Sunday of August. Not everybody was here. We talked about atmospheres of faith, so I'm going to continue with that. August has been a great month. And I talked about the small-minded faith in a small area called Nazareth, and that was in Mark chapter 6. So if you weren't here that week, write down Mark chapter 6. And if you read the story about this in Mark chapter 6 about Jesus, how he taught in his hometown synagogue, little church, little synagogue, his disciples followed him, he began to teach, and then they began to question. They began to question, how did this guy Jesus, who we all went to school with, someone say amen to that? Come on, people you went to school with, people that you knew their mom and daddy, you knew their grandpa, you knew everybody, right? Because it had that kind of small feeling, okay? And they said, how is he doing these mighty works? And so they went to question his roots. They made all these assumptions, and then the questions led them to the wrong answer. And sometimes you can ask a question, come on, that gives you the wrong answer. If you ask the right question, you'll get the right answer. Amen? Someone say amen to that, because I'll tell you what, Mary asked a question that got the right answer, right? And the other guy, Zechariah, asked the wrong question and got shut up. It was more or less the same question, but Zechariah had to be, okay? Mary said it's slightly different, okay?
Wrong for him and right for her.
Yeah. So you got to learn to ask the right question. And they go, is this not the carpenter? He was good, man. He made good stuff. He made good furniture, did this really well. But so Jesus made a very interesting quote. He says, a prophet is not without honor, except in his hometown, except in his hometown. And so you'll find that your hometown boys, hometown girls, they'll look at you and go, ooh, I have a hard time thinking about you this way, because we know you. Amen? So familiarity can block faith, and that's what we learned. And Jesus, we don't want to make Jesus marvel or be amazed because of our unbelief. I'd rather have Jesus be amazed because of my faith. Amen? So we're going to go to the centurion, because Jesus was amazed at the centurion's faith, but he was also amazed at the unbelief in his hometown. So he was amazed both times, Pastor Ronnie. But one was for the wrong reason. How many of you want amazed? Both hands up. If you want to amaze Jesus with your faith and not your unbelief. Okay? Amen. It's me, Lord. I confess. Okay? So the answer to Jesus' problem in Nazareth, he didn't just throw them to the dogs, okay? He didn't give up on his hometown, never did. He said he went about teaching. So the way to deal with a closed mind, use the pry bar called teaching, the Word of God. You pry it open with the Word of God. Sometimes you just got to use the pry bar of the teaching, and it may take some time. You may have to teach, study the Word of God a little bit to finally get you past the point where you can really see with the eyes of faith and with the Holy Spirit and not with your past perceptions. Okay, so now we're going to look at household faith in Capernaum. So turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 7. Turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 7. And I am super fascinated with a centurion. and this Roman dude who Jesus marveled at in Romans chapter 7. And I have to say that it's quite interesting that the Lord used the Roman centurion to do a great thing that caused him to marvel in faith. He saw a kind of faith in the centurion that was an example to all of us. And then later on, he sends Peter to another centurion, I believe. I think it's another one. I don't think it's the same one. Sends him to this other centurion and uses it to deal with Peter's closed-mindedness. Come on, everybody say closed-mindedness. Where Peter says, I ain't eating any of that junky Gentile food. I got to eat kosher. Come on. And then God said to Peter, what God has cleansed, don't you call unholy. Just go eat it, because I told you to. And so God used a centurion, same thing. So he ended up going to the centurion's home, and the first thing he says, hey, I'm here because of the Lord, because I would never set my foot in this door. Never. Never set my foot in this door. And God had to change my mind to send me somewhere I thought I would never go. Amen? Wow. And you could talk about the neighborhood, you could talk about a country, you could talk about anywhere. But God has a way of convincing us. He did it with Peter, with a dream. And then Jesus goes to Capernaum. And remember, Capernaum was his operating base. Jesus chose Capernaum at his operating base and not Nazareth. And I believe the centurion played a major role of Capernaum to be his operating base because of his faith. Faith will create a region of home where Jesus feels comfortable. Come on. Don't you want to have the kind of area that Jesus would want to move to? Like Smith Mountain Lake? People live there from all over the area. Why? It's a great place to live. They want to live there. Why? It's nice. It's got a great atmosphere. It may not be the way it used to be. I don't know. I haven't been there in a while. But listen to me. It's a place where people want to live. And I believe the atmosphere or the attitude, you know, there are certain parts of this country right now, you don't want to live there just because of the atmosphere there. Smoke, neighbors, you name it. You don't want to live there. Jesus lived there. It says a centurion had a servant, a slave who was sick at the point of death and who was highly valued. Point number one, a place where Jesus wants to be is a place of faith is somebody who values those lesser folks. He highly valued his servant, his attendant, the person who worked for him. And you can see that in a successful business where the boss values the people that are working for him. And if you've worked enough, guys and girls, you may have a recollection even right now of a place where you worked where the boss did not highly value you or any of the other employees. Wave your hand if you have been in such a working environment. I have. And then you go to another place where your boss really values the workers, you could tell. And you want to work at a place like that. So the first thing is, an atmosphere of faith is a place of honor. Everybody say honor. Honor. Honoring the Lord and honoring everybody, no matter small or great, having a culture of honor, having a culture of honor brings faith where Jesus wants to be there. Number one, that's the first thing. When the centurion heard about Jesus, he sent to him elders of the Jews. Now we've got another crew of people. people who are way different from you, elders of the Jews, were the Jewish leaders in the community. So how many of you would like to have a scenario in a town or in an area where one of the leaders or the bosses, the centurion, is a man of 100 soldiers under him. So he was definitely, if not the Roman guy there, or one of the major people in Capernaum to rule that city for Rome. And so here he was, and he was on good terms with the Jews in that town. He cared about a religious group. He cared about God's people. And what did these elders say? They are the ones who went for him. So he had that kind of relationship with these guys where the elders of the Jews were willing to represent his interests to Jesus. You got some friends that would look out for you? To go to bat for you? How many of you appreciate that when that happens in your life, when somebody you know is willing to go to bat for you, willing to talk to somebody for you? Hey, you know what, John, I'm really close to the mayor or the governor, and I know you need a little favor in your life. Let me talk to them for you. That happens. That happens. And the centurion was that kind of guy where he would go to bat. He would get people that cared about him enough that would go to bat for him, that would go, I'm using a baseball analogy, but they would actually go for it to help you and favor you because he, or and we find out why. It says when the elders came to Jesus, verse 4, it says they pleaded with him. In other words, they did the prayer of supplication. Supplication means asking somebody. Now, you're not commanding them, right? There's two kinds of prayer that I like to focus on. One is a prayer of command or declaration, and they didn't go in to, you know, and command Jesus to take care of this situation. They didn't declare it in front of Jesus. Prayer and supplication. They requested, they asked. They didn't order Jesus to do it. They were said, "Lord, please." This is where we get the word please. Plead, pleasing. Pleading means you're saying if it's in your pleasure, do it. If I'm appealing to someone's good pleasure, what am I appealing to? Their mercy. What else? Come on. What else? What else? On their choice, not your choice. I want it to be your will, not my will. Ooh, I've heard that before. Right? Thank you, Ryan. Anybody else? When you're pleading and you're asking for them to give it to you out of their good pleasure. There's another word for good pleasure. Desire. Okay, good. I like the word favor. There was a culture of favor there. Appealing to the favor of the Lord. That means that God will do it for you just out of his good pleasure, out of his will. He just wants to bless you. I mean, God has no obligation, right, to just give us stuff or to bless us or whatever. He's not obligated. He's not obligated to any man. But what does he do it for? He does it because it's in his good pleasure to bless you with something. We have car testimonies in our lives, okay? Where God, I'm just telling you, we've seen it over the years. God will just give us a car. It's not because I deserved it. It's not because I just tickled someone a certain way or you know what I'm saying? It didn't happen because of manipulation or control. Right? Manipulation is controlling somebody without telling them. Right? That is the satanic counterfeit of good pleasure. And one of the things I'm telling you, you got to repent of, because you see it in our culture all the time, you got to repent from manipulating to get what you want. You got to repent from control. And you got to trust in the good pleasure of the Lord to do whatever it is that He wants you to do. I mean, I made a decision in faith to trust the Lord for 2 mission trips this summer. Almost back to back, 2 weeks in between them. That, to me, doesn't make a lot of sense. But I felt the Lord said, do it. I said, Lord, what about the money? One with her, so that's 2 airfares. I'm just being honest. And then another one, a longer trip, more expensive trip. Trust the Lord. Well, God's got it. You see what I'm saying? And I can testify today that a good portion of that cost is already in. Now, I didn't have to manipulate God. You see what I'm saying? If I say the perfect prayer, or if I do the right thing, I just did what I felt Holy Spirit to do in just loving Jesus, in just loving Him. Just loving Him. Nobody ordered Mary to anoint Jesus on the head. No one did it. No one told her to do it. There's no scripture that says you must anoint Jesus on the head to get blessing. There's nothing that commands it. But something inside of her, out of her love and the good pleasure of the Lord, just out of the grace of God, she says, I'm going to take this alabaster box and give the most expensive thing that I have and anoint Him with it. Just gave it to Him. You know what Jesus said? Your reward is? Wow. Sorry, guys. You know what Jesus said your reward is? Hey, the alabaster box almost broke. Okay, we got it. You know what Jesus said? He says, wherever this gospel is preached, people will remember what you did. That was her reward. Wow. You guys can do it. I'm just telling you, I want to encourage you. Love Him. Glorify Him. Repent of any kind of trying to do the perfect thing, manipulate, control, and give it all up for Him. And say, Lord, I just give You everything. You just give me what I need. And I'm not going to tell You always what that is. I mean, I'm saying I'm just going to let You decide. If You want to give me a bicycle to get around town, or if You want to give me a Cadillac to get around town, I'll take it. Because I know You give more than we ever can ask or think. How do you know that He gives above and beyond all that you can ask or think according to His wisdom and glory? God will bless you that way. He'll just do it. He'll just bless you. That piano, gift from God. It's not cheap. Gift. Every time I play it. I got my grandma's piano in there, too. Gift from God. See what I'm saying? A musical instrument. Am I right, Pastor Ronnie? Am I right, Shua? A lovely musical instrument is a joy and a pleasure that has no price tag. You just love it. Because there's this connection with musicians, right? Am I right? There's a connection with musicians and whatever it is that they're playing. There's a connection there. It's a gracious connection. I'm kind of getting off of my notes, but I just really want to encourage y'all about to believe God. Like the centurion, he did not approach Jesus directly. He could have, couldn't he? He could have put his uniform on, his Roman robes. He could have put all the military stuff on there and walked up to Jesus. Jesus, I know You're a miracle worker. I need it for my servant. You know what I mean? He didn't do it. He had authority, didn't he? Did he use his authority? Thank you. He did not use his authority. What did he use to approach Jesus? His favor. The fact that he honored the Jewish leaders. It says he built two synagogues for them. And then he had a giving nature. Number three. An atmosphere of faith has to do with the culture of honor. The atmosphere of faith has to do with the favor of the Lord and appealing based on favor, not power or manipulation. The atmosphere of faith has to do with what? Just the heart of giving. Just to be a giver. He says he built two synagogues. I think it was two. He built our synagogue, one synagogue. That's in verse five. He loves our nation. See the atmosphere? Now look, the giving is out of love. I love you, so I'm going to give. And so, like I said, some of our testimonies, some of our cars came from people who just loved us. One car came totally out of nowhere. Somebody who we didn't have that strong a relationship with and just gave. Okay, so we've got those atmospheres. Let's see, what else? It says they pleaded to him earnestly. That means to call upon it earnestly. Get up next to them and say it. And look what the elders said. It says, he is worthy to have you do this. The centurion did not declare his own worthiness, but other people did. And that's what's going to happen when you are a lover and you're a giver and you work in favor, is that people are going to look at you and say, that guy deserves it. I call it got the goods. Anybody use that expression? That person's got the goods. They're for real. It's for me that when I say got the goods means it's the difference between a self-promoter and someone who just is the real thing. I know the word or term I use, the real deal. Anybody use the real deal term? They're the real deal. They got the goods. And to me, that's like me as saying he's worthy. That's the same expression. He's worthy. He's worthy. And Jesus, didn't we sing that song? You are worthy of it all. See, Ron, it was a prophetic song right there. He's worthy. I never tell him what the message is. You're worthy of it all. Why? Jesus is the real deal. And the centurion was a real deal. That creates this atmosphere of faith. Look how many people have been impacted by his character. And he was a God-fearer. They called these the Gentiles who loved God and were they couldn't be Jewish, right? So they had a name for them. They called them God-fearers. And the Greek word is Sebastimos, which is where we get our name Sebastian. Okay, that's where the name comes from. He is worthy. He loves a nation. He built a synagogue. And by the way, Jesus taught there in Capernaum more than any other single synagogue mentioned. John chapter 6, verse 59, specifically, he gave a major message in the Gospel of John at that synagogue. That synagogue was the major message. And all he did was read a scripture and get kicked out of his home church. But in Capernaum, he gives, I am the bread of life. Sorry, I yelled. I was being dramatic, yeah. I am the bread of life. He gave that message at that church, that synagogue. I am the bread of life. And how many of you know that passage? How many of you have heard that scripture before? How many of you heard that? I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger. And he who drinks from what I give him, he will never thirst. It's just in us. Why? Because it's a powerful word. And that's the atmosphere of faith in that town because of that centurion. We're going to find out later what Jesus thought about it. We're not going to get there yet. But look, after he sends the elders... Listen to this. Jesus went with them to this guy's house. Verse 6. Wow, listen to this. When Jesus was not far from the house, the centurion sent his friends. He sent his friends. And what did his friends say? Now look, three levels, right? He sent a servant first, right? Then he sent, he had a servant who was sick. He sent the elders first, and then he sent his friends. Friends, here are the people who really know you in ways that elders don't know you. All of you have friends that know you way better than I know you. Right? They know you. They know you. And this man had those kind of people too that were willing to go to bat for him. Another baseball term. I have a lot of baseball terms in my vocabulary. You can tell I grew up watching the Mets play because, you know, they were the Miracle Mets when I was growing up. Anyway, I'm not going to get on that rabbit trail. He sent friends. Something changed. Something changed in this centurion where he said, "Don't come." Something changed in him as he stepped out. Listen to me now. Everybody look here for a second. He stepped out in faith to send elders of the Jews to come to him first. He stepped out in faith with this much faith. Come on, everybody. Look at this. He had this much faith. But then something happened to his faith where he sent friends and he had this much faith and he says, "You don't have to come. You don't have to come. Send me your word. All I need is your word. Because your word is everything." In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Just send me the Word. He got something. Because at first he said, "You come and lay your hands on him." Now, his faith shifted because he took a step of faith with the faith that he had. Come on. You start with what you have, and then God will give you what you need. Come on, let me say it again. God, you start with what you have, give it to Jesus, and God will give you what you need. And when you do that, you create an atmosphere of faith. And Jesus will be shocked at you. He will marvel at you. And instead of marveling at your unbelief, he will marvel at your faith and he'll give praise to God. Wow. 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 Jesus is saying, "Wow. Wow. This is amazing. I am amazed." And he sent his friends. This man created an atmosphere of faith that set up Capernaum as a ministry base. Verse 9 and 10. I'm going to read the scripture. We're going to close right here. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him. And turning to the crowd that followed him, "I tell you, not even in Israel have I found such faith." And when those who had been sent returned to the house, they found him. His servant will. And I'm just praying. Let's pray right now. You can stand, sit, whatever you want to do it. Get on your face and pray. We're just going to pray right now and give this to the Lord. Just get whatever posture you want for prayer. Okay? Because, you know, you can stand. Because somebody said, whenever you stand praying, don't be angry, guys. So, you know, or you can be on your face and whatever. But Father God, we thank you. We thank you for the faith that has friends. We thank you for the faith that has elders that are honored. And we thank you for the faith that honors even servants. Father, we thank you for the culture of honor. We thank you, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for the giving, the heart of giving. We thank you, Lord God, for humility and not trying to use earthly authority and power to manipulate and control. We thank you, God, for favor, for living in an attitude of favor, of just appealing to the favor of the Lord and flowing in the favor of the Lord that creates an atmosphere that will elevate the Word, elevate the Word of God to a place of the throne of God. We thank you, Lord God. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Increase, increase, increase. Let us understand that we can have the Word of God in a new way. And Lord, that's what I'm praying for right now. Father, we're praying, Lord, we want to receive the Word of God and see the Word of God in a way that you want us to see it. Lord God, and as we step out in the faith that we have, God's going to give us what we need in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Can somebody say hallelujah? Amen. Lord God, we give you thanks and we give you praise. Let's honor him right now. We honor you, Lord, and we give you praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. We repent. We repent of trying to control things with the hand of man. And we say, Lord, we're going to operate in favor. We're going to operate in honor. We're going to operate, Lord God, using the little that we have, Lord, to receive the great big God that's beyond our expectations, understanding, knowledge. And Father, we just give you all the glory in the mighty name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen, 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 and amen.